Great, if you've got a Bible, I'd love it if you could open it at Acts chapter 2. I listened to Gareth from last week, and I know that you've started this series, Unstoppable. Just while you're doing that, a quick introduction to myself. I lead a church called Redeemer, which is in the west of London in a place called Ealing. Ealing is a borough of 375,000 people, and we have 172 different nationalities there. Oh, this is my family. There you go. My son, this was his engagement, so he got engaged to Naomi. That's me and my granddaughter there in the middle. My daughter's on the right, she's given birth to that one. My son-in-law, he's preaching in my church this week. This is my son and his wife, and they've had their second child. So there you go, I'm a granddad now with three kids. We're all part of the Advance family, and it is a real privilege to be here. Last year, Nikki and I had the privilege of going to Ghana with Gareth and Nadine, and I thought, they talk such a good game, I'd really like to come and see their church and see what it was like. I mean, they're such an outstanding couple, and it was so great to be there with them. So it's a real privilege to come here and to preach. Hopefully you've got Acts 2 open. I'm going to ask if you could all stand. Let's stand as we read the Word of God together. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, you could have your seats. Thank you. I've been asked to speak this morning on power and mission. I'm sure you guys are aware because, I mean, the wildlife in Africa is just absolutely stunning. When I think about power and mission, I think about a rhinoceros. I discovered that a group of rhinoceros, you know that a rhinoceros is massive and can run at 30 miles per hour, but can only see 30 feet in front of it. Because whatever is at 31 feet better get out of the way. So they called a group of rhinoceros a crash. And I thought, what a great idea for the gospel. I mean, that is like us. You think God has called us together to be this unstoppable force that is going to see the gospel advance. Mensa from the International Center of the Gospel Church, Ghana, says this: the mission of God is fulfilled through Spirit-enabled believers. And that is what I want us just to dial and look at this morning. Acts 2 says there in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. What were you doing 50 days ago? Part of you think, I don't even know what 50 days ago was. The 17th of Jan. You probably still haven't got a clue. I have no idea what I was doing on the 17th of January. But these disciples would have known because it was 50 days since the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the resurrection of Jesus changes everything. That's why it's such a privilege, isn't it, that we break bread together. Because we suddenly think, Jesus, you gave your body for me. Your blood was shed for my forgiveness. I don't deserve that. They would have remembered that is what has happened. They would have remembered 10 days ago, Jesus had risen and gone into heaven. They were gathered together in one place. Now, I know that I'm preaching at the choir this morning because you guys are here. But there's just something beautiful, isn't there, that right at the outset of this book, the unstoppable book, they are there gathered together. And then it tells us in verse 2, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came. How often do you think of the suddenlies of Scripture? You think about the book of Acts. Peter's in prison, and suddenly there's an angel that says, this is the way out. Paul is on the road, and suddenly there's this light that blinds him. Paul is in prison another time. Suddenly there's this earthquake. When we read the book of Acts, it stirs faith rather than boredom. You see, if we live a spirit-filled life, we should be so excited, because you never know what God's going to do. As you've seen, I've got three kids. And to be honest, you guys have roundabouts, don't you? Kids park. I cannot cope with a roundabout. My stomach just can't do it. And so whenever I used to go with the kids, I said, "Oh, your mum would go on the roundabout with you." I said, "Look, my Christianity is so exciting, I don't need to sit on a roundabout." I tell you, do your kids look at your Christianity and think, "Wow, that is so exciting. I can't believe what's going on here." Because suddenly I look at the book of Acts and you think there's something about the Holy Spirit that fills people, that we believe in God for the suddenness. We believe for the supernatural. Wind is often a sign of the presence of God. It tells us, doesn't it, that when Moses wanted to cross the Red Sea and it parted for them, it actually says in Scripture it was the breath of his nostril. I mean, what power God has, you know, someone's like a little sneeze like that to one nostril and just parts the sea. Some of you think, "I don't believe that." You'll have checked it. You've nothing else now. Even says, doesn't it, "This is wind from heaven. I asked you to stand, but they were sitting." I don't think they were strategizing. They weren't praying, because this is a God thing. And so there's this sort of sense, isn't there? God could suddenly come and do something that could blow our minds. Do we come with that kind of faith to the gospel? It says in verse 3, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that came to sit on each one of them. Again, we know that fire is symbol of God's presence. Alan Frau, who leads the advanced group of churches, has just finished a book, A Fire by Night. It's a people of the presence of God. That's why I love it when these people come out and they share something. It's like, I believe God is here and I believe God is speaking. That's what this was like here. For each of them, an individual thing. It's not like, "Oh, it's just those in the front row." It's not just the incredible band. Every single one of you, the Holy Spirit is for. It says, doesn't it, in verse 4, all were filled. I don't know about you guys, I've got two very clever brothers. My older brother, I think, has got 4 degrees. I lost counting. When I was at school, this was a few years ago, the teachers used to say to my parents, "What went so horribly wrong with the one in the middle? Did you adopt him?" It's so easy to think, "Well, I can't match up to the other two." We can think that in church. "I don't lead a small group," or "I couldn't play in the band." But actually, when you suddenly look at this, the Holy Spirit is for all of them. If you love Jesus, he's for you here today. Not just a little, but a lot. It says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled. Filled and overflowing with the Holy Spirit. This is something supernatural from God. And I guess this morning, look, I'm going to encourage you to get some prayer at the end. Because this is not just an academic exercise. I grew up in a Baptist church. In the Baptist church, we love the word. But we often used to say the longest journey in the world is from your head to your heart. This morning, we don't just want to come and say, "Oh, we've understood the Holy Spirit in our head." We want to open up our hearts to receive from him. So we're going to get an opportunity to pray for one another at the end and just say, "Oh God, fill me again. I want to be filled with more of you." We know that Jesus, I mean, your contributions are virtually preached anyway. This lady came out, she said, Jesus did the life full of the Spirit. Jesus told his disciples, can you imagine it? "It's best if I go. Have you ever thought about that? I don't know about you, you know, you get these icebreaker questions. Where, if you could go anywhere in history, where would you go? And I think, man, I'd want to be around Jesus, wouldn't you? I mean, suddenly, oh yeah, here's somebody's packed lunch. Oh, I think I just beat 20,000 people. Whoa! You know, oh, this one's got their one and only son has died. I'll raise them. This one's blind. I'll open their eyes. This one's lame. I'll make them to walk. I mean, to be around Jesus would have been utterly incredible, wouldn't it? And Jesus said, no, actually, it's better for you that I go. How on earth could that be better? This will be the time of my life. But Jesus says, if I go, he will come. You can see that in John 14, verse 25 and 26. All this I've spoken with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything. Wow, Jesus, I'd love to be with you. And he says, well, I'm going, because then actually this will be even better. After he died and risen again, the thing that is most recorded in the words of Jesus is this: my Holy Spirit is coming for you. Acts 1, verse 4, 5, and 8, all was part of your reading last week. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. While he's eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. John Stott, the English minister, said this: what we need is not more learning, not more eloquence, not more persuasion, not more organization, but more power from the Holy Spirit. Oh, do I recognize that's what I really need this morning? This whole series about Unstoppable and the book of Acts, it's almost like, hey, look, I just don't need to understand more. I need more of his power. Are you filled? Are you really filled? I don't know about you. If ever you go to another country or maybe even another city, you just learn so much. The first time I ever traveled, I was 20 years old on a plane, and I went to America. I don't know how many of you have been to America. My eyes were just open. It's the first time I've ever been to an all-you-can-eat buffet. Now, I mean, seriously, I mean, the table was as long as from here to there, and you could help yourself as many times as you like. I'd never been to a place like that. I did not know what a bottomless Coke was until I was 20. Seriously, I had a jug like this on the table, and every time I went up, they refilled it. And I thought, I'm not paying for it. I didn't ask for it. I didn't realize it was all in the price. I had 7 Cokes. I feel like I'm going to wake up with stretch marks. I've eaten so much. And then someone said to me, Pete, you haven't even been to the dessert table. I said, dessert table? Where's that? They said, it's over here. Do you know, I was so full, this is totally true, embarrassing story, glad my wife's not here now. I couldn't even walk to the car. I waddled like this to the door, and somebody drove and picked me up. That's full, isn't it? How often are we really full of God? Because this thing about the Holy Spirit, it's not, oh, you just take a little bit. It's not, oh yeah, I've just had a snack or something. He wants to fill us, to really fill us. I know that between now and Easter, you're looking at the gospel going local. Well, we can see time and again the Holy Spirit filled them if they were to go local. We read in Acts 4, verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, he was filled. We read again in Acts 4, verse 31. And they prayed, and the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. We read in Acts 6. Look, there's a big problem. We're overlooking some of the widows. We're overlooking the poor. And we know that's on God's heart. So let's do something. How are we going to choose the people? Let's build. I'd have thought, who here can do a spreadsheet? Wouldn't you? We've got to make sure. I just keep getting this word, Karen. Karen will sort it all. But actually, if you look at Scripture, it says in Acts 6, verse 3, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit. There was just this, you've got to be filled, because you know that when you're filled, it overflows. I'm just giving you a warning. I know these two are going to become grandparents later on this year. I tell you, they would turn up and show photo after photo. I know that because I do it myself. I'd only been in the house for about half an hour, and I said, oh, do you just want to see this little video? My grandson sent it to me just before I got on the plane. You know, the deans go, not really, but no, okay. No, it's not true. It's an overflow. If you feel love, you can't help but share it, can you? Oh, I'd love to tell you about my granddaughter. Oh, she's coming to stay here. I mean, look, my kids, they're 30, 28, and 26. They've all married. They've all left home. I've now got a sandpit in the garden. I've got a doll's house in the lounge. I've now got a buggy back in the car. I've got a car. Because actually, your love overflows. Is that true of you and Jesus? Because if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that should be. A.W. Tozer, he's an American author, says this: if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. But if the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference. So as we look at this whole book of Acts and what does it mean to be unstoppable? What's it mean to be this herd of rhinos that's charging with the gospel? We must recognize our dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Oh, fill me again. Warren Wiersbe, the Bible teacher, put it this way: it is futile, futile, futile for us to try and serve God without the power of the Holy Spirit. Talent, training, and experience cannot take the place of the power of the Spirit. I think, oh God, forgive me. Because what I think is, oh, if I could get everyone in a small group, I could have some training. If I could get you all to come on the members thing, I could get some. But actually, he's saying, hey, we must be those that are filled with the Holy Spirit if we want to be unstoppable. Corrie ten Boom, I don't know if you read the book, The Hiding Place. An amazing family story, really. Hiding Jews that were literally about to be slaughtered. She says this: trying to do the Lord's work in your own strength is the most confusing, exhausting, and tedious of all work. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then the ministry of Jesus just flows out of you. And I could think, how could you be that radical? Their family were that radical. She said, well, you're filled with the Spirit. And so I just want to encourage you. Are you filled with the Spirit? If not, then Reinhard Bonnke, the German evangelist, has got some tips for you. He says this: the less Holy Spirit we have, the more coffee and cake we need to keep the church going. It's a fascinating thing, really, isn't it? We haven't got the Holy Spirit. Oh, well, come out here and we'll have coffee and cake together. And we think, no, I don't want to feel I'm just caught on that. Do we really know that we're a people of the Spirit? Now, I've been given a passage and I didn't read it all because I know that we're filling in from last week. What we understand is the Holy Spirit, when he comes, one of the things that he loves to do is to make us a witness. In Acts 1, verse 22, when basically they're going to choose another apostle because of the actions of Judas, who has now committed suicide. They say, don't they, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become a witness to his resurrection. And so the whole thing in the book of Acts is that we are called to be a witness. The Holy Spirit is given for purpose. And we know it's to be a witness. If I'd have carried on reading We can read in Acts 2 and verse 11, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling our own tongues the mighty work of God. And it's almost like, hey, if we're going to choose someone, we want them to be a witness. And actually, when you are filled, you can't help but be a witness because the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Enoch, he's a Nigerian, said this, evangelism without the Holy Spirit is mere persuasion. With the Holy Spirit is divine conviction. And you think, oh, wouldn't we like to know more of the power of the Holy Spirit when we are called to be a witness? This is not just theory. We can see it in the book of Acts. We can see time after time that what's happened is they've been filled power, not just so they can say, hey, that's it, I've got power. It's actually so they can be a witness because it points to Jesus himself. Acts 2 verse 41, we read, don't we? So they received his word, were baptized, and there were added about 3,000 souls. Oh, wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't it be fantastic? You suddenly say, hey, we saw 3,000 added. Because the Holy Spirit is here, and we've just been a witness for him. We know, don't we, that when Peter and John are going to the temple to pray and they see a guy there who's lame and they say, look at us. No, no, we haven't got any money, but what we have got, we give you in the name of Jesus. But then what happens? They say, repent. Because the power of the Spirit was not just to see him healed, but was to see him saved. That's what it's all about, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is there, and we see it again and again. We could look at Acts 4 when Peter and John are opposed. It's actually so that people believe. Even Ananias and Sapphira, we don't like talking about that at church, do we? I mean, basically this couple that lie. They lie and they die. And what's the result? More people get saved. It says, more than ever, believers were added to the Lord. You see, the whole thing of the Holy Spirit coming upon the church was really for those that are not in the church, because we want to be a witness and a light for Jesus Christ. Now, we could look back at the book of Acts and think, oh, that was amazing. 280,000 people will decide to follow Jesus today. That's what they reckon. 280,000 people every single day are making decisions to follow Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit is still poured out today so that we go. I was reading in preparation for this that there was a doubling of the number of Christians around the world from 1910 to the year 2010. So in a 100-year period, it went from 600 million to over 2.2 billion. Golly, that's more than doubling. Maths is not my thing. We get Karen onto that. The reality is, the Holy Spirit is poured out so that we can be a witness. So that we can be a witness. So that we can be a witness. I encourage you, as you look at this book, as you think about Unstoppable, if it's only just to make us slightly better Christians, we've missed the point. But if it sets us on fire for Jesus, we've got it, haven't we? As I said, we're serving the borough of Ealing. That's what our church wants to do. The church has been going for 13 years. Nicky and I and the kids moved there 13 years ago, and we planted it. And we just keep saying, how do we just keep stirring? I said, come on, the Spirit is here, and we want to reach out. We do something called Love Ealing. So it's 2 weeks in December where we just say, right, we're going to stop all our small groups. We just got to think, how can we love on the borough? What could we possibly do that just shared something of the Jesus's love to people here? And it doesn't matter whether we're giving away tubs of chocolates, whether we do conversation classes for those that are trying to learn English. We go into the prison and we do carol services. We do soup kitchens. We do poetry nights, because we're just thinking the Holy Spirit has got to so fill us that we're out. We have to say in our church, and I appreciate, man, I've never been in a church where I've preached in front of such a nice backdrop. Still not quite sure what that red square is, but apart from that, it looks amazing. I know this takes a whole load of work. We say in our church, we're looking for 80% of the church, if this is your church, to serve on making Sundays happen. 80%. Because there's always somebody having a baby, isn't there? And they need some time off. But then we would also say in our church, we'd expect 80% of us to be serving in the community. So if the Holy Spirit is filling us, whether you're a school governor, whether you end up playing paddle, whether you end up serving on scouts, how do we ensure that we're light out there? How do we say, well, actually, the Holy Spirit is not just filling us here so that we have better and better services, but so that we go? I'm sure we all know the Great Commission. Matthew 28, the last words of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. I mean, just imagine that. You're one of these disciples. I mean, the pain and the agony of watching the crucifixion. The heartbreak of just what's happened. 2 days later, he's risen. He appears to you. And then he says this, doesn't he? The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." William from Lagos, Nigeria, puts it this way, "Without the infilling of the Spirit, there can be no effective witness." If we are called, we were not just saved so that we could sit in church and fill an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. We were caught up on Jesus' mission. Becoming a Christian is not expecting him to bless my life. It's me getting caught up on his mission to the ends of the earth. He's given us that kind of purpose and privilege. Oswald Chambers, he was a Scottish evangelist back in the 1800s, said, "Any church that is not seriously involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist." As a church, we are called to get involved in the commission of Jesus Christ. And that's amazing. That's however many students, is it 35,000 students? We're called to make a difference for the students in Stellenbosch. But we're also called to send people to Ghana or to receive people because we want to be a light to the ends of the earth. I'm going to make this as practical as I can. Three things I'm going to apply and then we're going to pray for one another. The first thing is this. If we're to be filled for mission, we should pray. K.P. Yohannan, he's an Indian man, part of the Gospel for Asia, says this: "Rediscover the real meaning of the Great Commission, beginning in our own prayer and devotional lives. We must begin to feel the compassion of the Lord for a lost and dying world." In our church, we have this acronym, BLESS. We took it from somewhere else. I can't remember where it comes from. I'm not trying to claim it's original. But we say to our church, you are blessed to be a blessing. BLESS stands for this: be prayerful, listen, eat together, serve, and share your story. And so we say the first thing we got to do is we've got to be those that pray. A fellow elder of mine, he goes into the local prison every Thursday to do a Bible study. And so often he stands up at the front and I think, oh, I hate it. I know it's coming. But he says this: if God answered your prayer for the last week for people to get saved, who would be saved? Who have you prayed for in the last week to come to know Jesus Christ? We'd encourage our church, create a list of five names. Let's pray. Number two, what would I say? Listen. William Booth, he was the founder of the Salvation Army, a Londoner, I'd like to say. He says this: not called, did you say? Not heard the call, I think you should say. Are we listening to the heart of God? You haven't got this on the slide, but that sentence comes in a whole speech, and it goes like this. Put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its pitiful wail for help. Go stand by the gates of hell. Okay, it's not very 2026. I appreciate that. He says, but here the damned entreat you to go to their father's house and bid their brothers and sisters and servants and masters to come. Then look Christ in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell him whether you would join heart and soul and body and circumstances in the march to publish his mercy to the world. Yeah, we're to pray, but we are to listen and to get the heart of God. My final challenge is, will we be those that act? Another African evangelical pioneer puts it like this: the gospel is an urgent message. Africa cannot wait for us to be comfortable. We can't just keep letting this drop to the bottom of the list. The guys will know this that came on Friday night. Whenever I point one finger at you, I always point three at myself. I am not coming here to say, oh, come on, are you going to be empowered for mission? I think, God, am I empowered for mission? Do I feel your heart? Do I listen to your voice? Am I prepared to go? I am intimidated by Gareth. He's got the brain the size of a planet and just writes papers for fun. I read the one off your websites. It says about One Hope Church has the vital role, this refers to the Holy Spirit, of empowering us to be a witness to the world, making Christ known through us. And only then, only after the infilling of the Spirit, where they're to go out and to be his mission for the lives, to spread the good news about Jesus to all people. We are no different. We need the enabling, empowering presence of the Holy Spirit with us as we seek to reach the world with the good news. That's on your website. That's your guy. I've only been here for 2 days. Landed on Thursday. Oh, God, maybe it's 3 days coming up. Found it fascinating how many solar panels that you're putting on houses. Yeah, it's funny. They're not a big thing in England because, I mean, if it was a day like this, no one would be at church. We'd all be lying on the grass thinking, son, do your stuff. We don't see it very often. But Gareth was saying, you know, there'd been problems with power. And so they're trying to encourage new builds to put power on. And I just thought, I wonder if we think God has a limited supply. I wonder if we think, oh, I'm not quite sure if there'd be enough. I don't know if there's enough for me. I don't know if there's an ongoing. God has more than enough power. And we can come today not thinking, oh, I've got to do my bit. I've got to try and help out because actually we're in trouble here. There is more than enough. We want to be those that respond, not just in our head, but in our heart. I often say to my church, it's not are you open to the Holy Spirit, do you pursue the Holy Spirit? I see that you've got the Alpha banner here. I feel safe. It's a proper church. We find on Alpha the big change so often is it's the Holy Spirit day or weekend. It goes from talking to it really makes an impact. And that's why I'd love to invite you now to receive some more of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5 verse 18 says this, doesn't it? Don't get drunk with wine, but go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is not a one-off occasion. This is now, now, now. Like I've always thought of South Africans as rugged, go-get-it kind of people. So is that going to be true for the Holy Spirit? I made a pledge. This is honestly true. 30 years ago, if anyone does an appeal, I'm going for it. I mean, golly, I've responded for some strange appeals. You know what I'm saying? You've got period pain. It might be me, but somebody will pray, I'll come. Because my heart is, I want to receive. What about you? God longs to give. We had a word this morning. The Holy Spirit was with Jesus, and he wants to be with you.